Recording. So, you know, Facebook and YouTube and God knows where else. Welcome to the Remower Report. It has a bunch of streaming destinations. I'm not sure if it picks or chooses or whatever.
We're live? We're live. Okay, sorry. I have to get that out of the way.
Chris George Jr. is live with me tonight. Used to be the host of Danalore. I'm not exactly sure what he's doing these days, but we'll get into all that and catch up. It's been a hot minute since we've talked. I mean, we Facebook all. Well, I don't want to say all the time either. For some reason, you had kids, and my kids are starting to grow up, so we haven't really talked that much on Facebook. I think we trade memes probably every
so often.
Yeah, one that we know the other person would like.
So well, Chris, how you been? 2022 to 2023 has been a very interesting year. Beginning of third quarter, my father unfortunately passed away suddenly. That hit everybody very hard, and I started at that point to need to feel some excitement again, and to do something that, you know, would kind of honor his memory. And I restarted the podcast briefly. And then my wife and I, because as everyone knows, whether you are in the U.S. or you are in Canada, buying a house is very difficult because of cost. And we found a house that ticked all the boxes, or at least a majority of them, in the neighborhood we wanted, the size we wanted, with the stuff we wanted, for the price that we could afford. And it was in the middle of February when we got it. Or at least that when we found it. We were not planning to buy a house at that point. And we jumped on it. We got into a bidding war, got the house, and then realized, oh, darn, we need to not only sell our current house, but we have to renovate it from top to bottom, which included dismantling my old studio. There were a couple of episodes, if you go on the Den of Lore YouTube channel, where I was basically broadcasting from a semi-demolished to demolished basement. And the amount of dust that was in there was just, it was absolutely horrible. And then pretty much since then, since we got that house sold, to the move, to getting into this house, realizing, wow, everything that we thought looked nice, but it just started breaking one after another, after another. I've replaced 1, 2, 3, 4 major appliances, including my central air system. And yeah, and once we had all that out of the way, we also kind of realized that our backyard that we now owned, which is fairly substantial for a, at least in Ottawa, millennials living conditions, most backyards nowadays, to maximize space, the builders just give you a small postage stamp. No, it's fairly large. It hadn't been taken care of by the previous owner for about a decade. Ooh. So our neighbor beside us, sweetest man you've ever known in your entire life, the man's a gem, had planted a Virginia creeper all along his fence line, because the people who lived in the house that I lived in now were not the nicest or friendliest neighbors. So they're like, okay, we want some, some privacy. What we didn't know is that the Virginia creeper climbed the trees all the time. So, and those trees were dead already. And what we thought were leaves were actually just vines. And we started having trees falling down in our backyard in the middle of the summer. And that led into having to rebuild a deck and a lot of maintenance work. And so now that that's out of the way, and Christmas is out of the way, and New Year's is out of the way, we'll see what happens in 2024. Hopefully nothing else breaks. I have a semi studio currently. I've got a computer. My computer and my setup that I had before is set up, but the studio itself has not been built around it. So once I get that done, then I can actually get that done. You've got kids, so you understand how difficult getting that time is. So working hard.
I've moved my studio, probably started Thanksgiving-ish, and it's still, well, you can see it's still not lit the way I want it. I've still got some big gaps I'm trying to fill. Yeah, so.
Looks good in like every single American podcast that I've seen, where you've got the baseball cap, you've got the American flag in the background, which obviously means a lot to you considering it's in the case that it's in. And you're looking comfortable, you're looking good, and you know, you're looking fantastic, Jim. I gotta say, and because we didn't record it before, I just wanted to say thank you so much for inviting me on. One, it breaks the monotony. Two, I get to catch up with somebody I consider a friend. And three, I get to stir the pot a little bit, which I haven't done in some time, and I'm raring to go. So, where do you want to start? Can I start with something with a cool quote, something that,
throw us down in the deep end. We'll see. Like I said, Pearson, you talked about this earlier this afternoon. We're going to catch up a little bit, and then one of us is going to get pissed off and we're going to be done with the hour. So,
well, see, now I got to find it.
Oh,
oh no, it's gone. Oh no.
He made it up.
What
was it about? You paraphrase it here for us.
One second. There we go. Okay. Oh no. Okay. I'll still, you know what? Sorry, William. I'll try and recreate it. Now for anybody who wonders why I haven't done a UFO podcast in a while, let me try and, refresh some people's memories. I ran a fairly popular UFO ancient history podcast. At that same time, social media and just the media in general went completely crazy. People were angry. They would, you know, flame wars on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. It was a very, very high stress. And to be honest, it's not healthy. Not healthy for the people doing it. Not healthy for the personalities. And I came to the realization that whether there's UFOs or whether there's aliens or whether there's conspiracy theories or Atlantis was real, unless you are in the business, and again, it is a business, yeah, it's entertainment.
There's a whole bunch of business that goes on.
It's a multi-billion-dollar with a B, billion-dollar business where facts don't matter. It's all about the storylines. and I just realized, like, that isn't going to necessarily put food on the table for the long term if I want to actually have a future where, unless I'm on the History Channel every single week and I've got a very successful show that's going on for 23 seasons, it's not viable. Now, it's not to say that I don't believe in aliens. I'm just going to frame this for everyone out there. You think that with everything you know about the human race and our current culture and everything that goes on online, or you know, what our media is like, what our perceptions are like, if you take a civilization that has, for some God unknown reason, managed to avoid multiple filters like asteroid impacts, tsunamis, solar flares, you name it, and they were able to live long enough as a culture to unite that culture, and to unite that culture to an extent that they could advance their understanding of the natural forces of the universe so far that they would cross the stars to anywhere that they would like to be able to go. That if they had found our planet, and for whatever reason, they had gotten word that we as a culture had made shows, and the people who are on those shows from like Honey Boo Boo and John and K plus eight famous, and not just famous, household names. Do you think that they would have wanted to actually make contact with us? Because I know what I would have done. I would have nuked the planet from orbit just to make sure that we as a society can't get out there, because I know what we are capable of as a society. We are a society and a culture and a race and a species that is capable of some of the most beautiful and wondrous things. And that is only overshadowed by the sheer brutality, callousness, coldness, and uncaringness we have not only to our own kind, but other species and other inanimate objects all around us without a care in the world. We as a society and as a species, not individuals could be nice, but we as a species are generally speaking no better than a disease. Yes, Agent Smith and the Matrix. The man was right, even if he was a fictional character. If you're an alien visiting us and you had taken goodness knows how long to get here and you found us here, you would have seen us as a level, you know, God level threat, and would have made darn sure that we couldn't have brought our particular brand of bullshit out into the universe. And if anybody who thinks that those aliens who are so far advanced that what they can do is magic looks at us and says, let's collaborate with their government and we're going to use them to farm, you know, mutilate cows and abduct people and blah, blah, blah. They don't need our resources. They can probably synthesize their own. They don't need our DNA. They can probably synthesize their own. So whatever is on the media, if it's not complete bullshit, I will eat my hat. Is there life out there? Statistically impossible not to be. Are they visiting us? Are they sticking probes up people's butts? No, there is no way in hell that I could actually see that, because any intelligent species would have taken care of us as a species before we even got to the point that we were at. We have nuclear weapons, for crying out loud. We could destroy this planet three times over. They could probably, they don't even need to use weapons. They could get an asteroid from our neighborhood, throw it at our planet and wipe us out, and we wouldn't even know where it's coming from. They are not afraid of us. They shouldn't be afraid of us. We can't even beat ourselves half the time. So that's my current position.
We're way too busy beating ourselves to worry about them.
Oh, well, that's basically it. Why, if we are too concerned with fighting over each other over ideology, over religion, over points of view that don't even matter or don't even exist, while we are getting taken over by big business, by special interests, so that they can continue to accrue power and money. In reality, you as an individual, and most people as an individual, can't do anything to be able to change it. And if you think that you can, you're probably being used by somebody who wants to take that power, who's going to make things worse. So just live your lives, people. Be happy in the moment. Be happy with your loved ones. Be happy with your friends. And just try and do the best you can. And for God's sakes, turn off the TV, read some good, you know, cat memes, stay out of politics. It's all it is just anger, hate, and frustration, and it does not matter one goddamn bit.
The first shortcut that I learned, I learned that you could program stuff in my iPhone back in the day. That tells you how long ago this was the first thing that I put on auto type was divide and conquer, because I was saying it so much. So I just created a hotkey for it.
All your base are belong to us. That's a deep cut.
Yeah, it's
just amazing that people don't. I mean, it's not amazing, I guess. I mean, you mentioned Honey Boo Boo and all that mess. I guess it isn't amazing people don't see it for what it's worth.
Even when it started to progress and infect, I'm going to say normal media, where you start having people like Luis Elizondo who are, you know, or with not as necessarily respected scientist Avi Loeb, you know, lobbying Congress for disclosure. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, I thought we talked about this, you know, like this was like 5-6 years ago. I thought we put a pin in this, like this, like, we knew this was a scam and a con back then, right? Like, I outlined that pretty darn sure. And I'm like, you know, people will ask me, like, Chris, well, what do you think about disclosure? I'm like, do you watch AEW? Did you watch WWE? Yeah. Okay. Do you really think that Roman Reigns, when he screws Cody Rhodes over to retain his title for the 15 millionth time to continue his multi-year reign of boringness, that in any way actually happened in reality? It wasn't a pre-scripted theatrical event. Well, yeah, of course, because it's fake. We know it's fake. It's you know, it's entertainment. Exactly.
Well, I think of every time, you know, like I said, I've kind of decided that I'm probably going to be taking a break from this for a while at some point here in the near future. And I think back to when I had Jim Mars on before he passed, and he says, would you believe them if they told you?
No. And no. It surprises me that the people whom are, and again, some of those are friends of mine, and that's great. They're like, oh, this is open-minded. People are talking about it. And those friends are more like, people are talking about it, and that's what's important. Yes. But the fact that they have not only, and again, taking a step back, To the Stars Academy has now shifted full on into entertainment, which
they always were going to be.
Called it. Called it half a decade ago. Called it. Knew it exactly that it was going to happen. And I called my shot and I was right. So Now they have, you know, they've done that, and they used it to, they said, hey, give us money. We're going to build a spaceship. Where's my spaceship? Put off. Where's my spaceship? I want my spaceship.
Didn't they sell stock? What's the value of that these days?
It was not stock. It was more like a, it was a certain class of stock that held no real power beyond the fact that you got a receipt to say, hey, I gave them money. And oh, well, that's proof to show your friends that when they laugh at you, said, you give them how much? The question is, how much of that went up Tom DeLonge's nose? Not that I'm going to, you know, question whether he does or not, but I'm just putting that out there. Think about that. Because well, he's a musician.
Well, either way, how much of that did he just burn? Regardless of how he did it.
Well, it's legal up here in Canada to do that.
Well, you know, either way. Just for the cleanup of all that.
They went from being again to the Stars Academy, which indicates or at least denotes a place of learning, a place of scholarship, a place of research, of arts and sciences, arts being the big thing. The only tangible thing that they have actually produced is a special that announced their two disclosure videos, which is the Fleur video and the it's been so long.
William Poole will help us in a second.
Yeah. That's the only thing.
No, at least
data or product beyond the TV shows.
Tom DeLonge produced a hit or a CD or whatever. I don't know if the kids are calling them those these days. A track.
It's called Grandpa. That's what it's called now. But as far as a track, that's one thing. Yeah, no, CDs, that's old school. That's from my age. I'm old.
Well,
now,
you know, these kids today are buying records. So, I mean.
I was buying some vinyl in 2001. When I first started DJing, I gave a friend of mine, you know, close to 500 pieces of vinyl. Some of that stuff was maybe only had a couple hundred runs. Vinyl's always been around.
Like it's coming back though. It's always been back. No, it's back in a big way.
The electronica scene and the amount of pieces of vinyl that were sold in the 90s to the mid 2000s is probably about as much, if not more, than today. So it's the genres have made it more mainstream as far as limited edition, but the places that have produced it have not gone away. So that's good because it's superior.
I seen something the other day that blew my mind. It probably won't blow your mind, but vinyl has passed CDs in sales.
Well, yeah, because CDs was only around for 15 years.
Vinyl's been around. Will CDs come back someday? It's 15, 20 years.
It's an inferior technology. It doesn't last as long. It doesn't sound as good. The mechanisms needed to actually read off of it are so finicky, and it's not worth it.
No,
it's like, would you rather have a Plex server where you've got 24 terabytes of whatever your kids watch and like the 5 movies that you get to watch at some point once every quarter or so, or would you rather have it all on a bunch of discs, which you keep on your shelf?
Yeah, well, that exactly. Was the downfall, right?
Yeah, it's always about space.
You people out there seeing my phone, like now I can stream all kinds of music, stuff that I haven't thought about in 10 years. I can just go.
Facebook will give you notification like a week from now, or like a week, or a month, or a year from now that it's been copyright striked. I did a DJ stream. Years back, and I still get notifications like going, BMG Music has caught, like, oh my god, really?
here's a fun one, Chris. Well, I didn't play it tonight, but you know, I have it's the Mallard Report music, like it's custom, right? Like it's owned by me. There's no,
well, that's good. Well, spin that up.
Well, I don't have it on this computer, but anyway, so somebody copyright struck it, and I'm like, I had to appeal. I'm like, what in the hell are you doing? And I won because, yeah, but you know, stupidity.
Yeah, I once did a live stream with the director of the Alien. You remember the Alien Autopsy Fox special from like the mid 90s?
Yeah.
All right, so he's kind of a friend of mine now. You know, we talk every now and again. It's I've been kind of busy, obviously, with the kids. Not on social very much. I post memes and I look for plasma TVs that I can buy for cheap because I collect them. It's a thing. And that's pretty much it. So we did a live stream, a private live stream for our patrons back then, where he did a live director's commentary. And part of that we played a music video that he'd also directed for a famous music artist. And he's like, so do you have the rights for me to be able to show this on this private broadcast? Like, yeah, man, just do it good. I'll talk to him. So his recording company, apparently that would have been fine, but his recording company holds the rights, not him. So that was kind of an issue. But like maybe 15 people have seen it because it was like super exclusive at the time. So I wasn't doing that.
isn't that great? Like, you know, there are people out there making these stupid videos and they get millions of views and nothing happens and they make the money. And then you do one and it gets a handful of views and they're like, oh, found it.
Dude, it's bright insight. And, you know, like good on him for, you know, for hooking this chain to the massive machine that is people who don't have, you know, or at least the audience that is people who do not have critical thinking skills, and posting a massive amount of very interesting theories, but all of them, a lot of them are wrong. Sure. But he's getting hit millions of views and he's making that cheddar, and good on him. I, who have a real job and also fantastic benefits from that real job, don't really care anymore. It's good as a skill, but it's not the goal. The goal is to be happy and calm and not have Kabbalah cults sending me, you know, random emails threatening my life and my family. That's kind of the goal right now. It's a low bar, but it's minimum.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised. They're still out there.
God, let's, you know, and I know from the podcast, one of the things that I'd wanted to do was somewhat from a, from an educational standpoint, because education is, you know, it is very important to me, and I know that it is to you. And I wanted to take it in the direction where, okay, these people, I may interview these people, but it's not necessarily on the subject. It will touch on the subject, but it's to learn about them, their struggles, where they came from, what their wisdom is, and trying to pull that kind of knowledge and lore out towards a use that other people can then learn from and improve. Like, you know, entertainment, salaciousness, awesome. That's great when it's there and still have that, but it's got to be about the human story. You know, it's got to be about the element of overcoming struggle and how did you learn from that kind of thing. And unfortunately, again, the whole, how I started this show is basically how that kind of turned out at this point. So,
if you're going to have that clickbait video now or headline now.
Well, that's kind of the thing with YouTube. There is a massive disinformation slap. Well, it's not so much disinformation. It is basically it's content theft with YouTube.
Yeah.
That there are entities and they're very advanced and they essentially have farms of people. And these channels, we're talking thousands and thousands of channels that are uploading tens of thousands of videos that are raking in, you know, $100 million to several hundred million dollars to this point. And all they're doing is stealing and taking content and information using AI voiceovers to and narrate the videos. It's very low quality content. It hits the analytics sweet spot perfectly. And it is just absolutely flooding YouTube. I would say at least on my feed, and I curate my my subscriptions very well. You know, it's that my friends and my interests haven't really gone away. I'll still astrophysics, ancient history, the deep past, mythology, all of that. Still love it. Still listen to it. But 3 out of every 10 videos at this point are now in these money farming low, you know, these spam accounts. And it's gone to such an to a problem of such an extent that it's actually shutting the people's channels down from the content being stolen and just the traffic being redirected. And there are people who are fighting back and doing mass lawsuits, mass content strikes to try and stop them, because it's not only, it's you have voice actors who make their living off of doing this kind of thing for content, and even they're being hit hard up now because their voices have been taken, used to train these AIs, which is then being used to voice over this fake content. And my question is, this is interesting. What's going to happen during the American election? How is that going to turn out, and how is that going to be used? Because I can tell you, when that election season full on starts, I'm shutting down social media. I'm shutting down YouTube. I'm staying off the air, because you, south of the border, even up here in Canada, we're heading into very interesting times that I don't really want to go into. But you know,
yeah. Well,
we'll see where it goes.
Let's go back to the AI thing. Let's stay out of the political thing for a little.
I'm going to go for it.
I mean, geez, you've probably seen it. I probably sent it to you 4 months ago, 5 months ago. I don't know. When I had the AI pictures and the AI voiceover I did. Did I send you that?
You did, yes.
So, I mean, it's really simple to do. Like, so simple I did it. I mean, come on.
okay, Jim, don't like, be hard on yourself. You're really technical.
But still,
I mean, you're very, very in assault, but I know.
Yeah, but it was still something I was able to do in like half an hour. Like I didn't, you know, and there's no money in it, just a few pictures and right, and wrote a little script.
Now multiply that 100,000, you know, 20,000 times 20,000 every single day, or not every single day, but like, you know,
for yeah, 20, that's what I'm saying.
Over like, the last 6 months.
It's not, I mean, you could train pretty much anybody, dude, I guess is what I was trying to say there, Chris.
Well, do you know the old adage, believe, actually, I think it was that Barnum and Bailey, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear.
Yeah,
that is, like that. Yeah, that is so, like, that has been the motto I've been going with for quite a long time, since I would say about 2017. Yeah, 2017, it's been kind of one of my mottos. At this point, I would believe none of what you hear and none of what you see and question everything, whether it's for, you know, pro-liberal, pro-conservative, anti-liberal, anti-conservative. Doesn't matter the direction. You need to question and filter so much information, and the human brain is not capable of doing it without going into overload. And one of two things will happen. People are just going to take it in, pick a side, and we're going to have a massive societal upheaval, or that person or that individual just checks out and says, this is just too crazy. I'm out. I'm done. Like, it's like our transit system here in Ottawa. It's so bad. Like, it takes 3 hours to get across the city. It's a fairly big city, and we used to have a really good system. Now we got a train. It doesn't run very well. It breaks down all the time. Long story. But people are just so frustrated with it day in, day out that they're gone. They're buying cars and they're like, I will never take the system again. I don't care how long I stay in rush hour traffic. That is better than dealing with what that system is currently. And that is very similar to what I see actually happening. And that population is going to be very small. And those are the ones who get out.
Okay.
And keep their sanity.
Got to pause you for a second here, because I've got an interesting thing here. And William Pullman says he misses your voice. So I'm going to say that for you.
He's been making some other
assorted comments, but that one's fair. Yes, question everything. No one that he made. But I seen a video the other day that talked about how you add more lanes to the road and you get more traffic. And I was kind of blown away because I never really thought about it. But like, you look at big cities like Ottawa and Los Angeles, the more traffic, you know, because people have to go further because there's less room to build and more road.
It's also to a certain extent that the systems themselves have not been optimized. Like, you have very smart people who design them. And then you get places like Ottawa where it's constantly under construction and the on ramps are too short and it causes backups for miles in one lane, because also people, and again, I love individuals. Individuals are great. We as humans are stupid. We cannot drive. We've been doing it for over 100 years, but we can't lane change. We can't zipper merge. We can't go up to speed. We can't shoulder check. You know, like these are very simple things. Like, but you can't do it. It takes one person in that system to cause a chain reaction, which could cause a 15 to 20 minute delay. And we're talking about an action of a couple of seconds to maybe half a minute, which can then cause 15 minutes of delay a couple miles down the road or down the line.
Yeah,
that is insane. especially if the system's not built properly, or it's not maintained or not expanded enough or quickly enough. And that's what a lot of municipal cities are dealing with right now, which is, hey, we're putting all this money into this area, but they're not putting it into the areas that actually matter, or the systems that are being run, or not doing it to the extent that it is needed to manage the population increase that are going into these cities. And, but you know what? I don't have to get to the train station and say, oh, the train's not running. Well, now I can't get to work. This is great. I can go where I want, when I want. It may be slowly, but I can do it.
Yeah, that's the rub of this, though, right? Like, if your mass transit isn't working, you're just handicapping. Maybe that's the word I want to use. Frustrating. There we go. That may be a better word. The people that are trying to be dependent on it, but they can't be.
Now, I don't like the whole idea of conspiracy, and you know, like with every government, there's always graft. It would be very interesting to take a look at the current municipal leaders, and I know at least from within where I live in my province or state to Americans, it's kind of the parliamentary equivalent, as we are more still within the Commonwealth and never gained our independence from Great Britain and became a republic. We're a constitutional monarchy / nation. I forget. Anyway, where was I going with that? Oh yeah. The amount of developers, the people who build houses, that build buildings, how many of municipal regions or counties have the direct heads and the people within that make the laws or at least decide on the budgets, how many of those people have a high proportion to campaign donations from developers? I know here in Ottawa, it's massive. There is, like, even within our provincial legislature, the developers actually funded a social media astroturfing campaign for an extended period of time to slag anybody on one part of the political spectrum to get their side elected. And then they tried to buy up this very, very well loved and protected area of green space called the Green Belt of most cities. And they were going to spend billions of dollars to buy this to then make houses, even though it's protected environmental land. And there was a lot of collusion. There was a lot of bribery. The people and the developers were at this politician's child's wedding. So all this stuff's, you know, going on. And I would be very interested to see how this is in other cities and or in other states or provinces. I know there's other stuff, but like if this is something that is prevalent, because
it is, it's widespread and out of control.
So, why are we worried about, why are we worried about big pharma? Why are we worried about, military industrial complex when we should be worried about big development, houses anywhere. No front lots or a driveway where you can only fit 1.5 cars. How can 1.5 cars? Yeah. That's like, what use is that to me? I got two of us who drive 1.5 cars. Means all the cars are like that
motorcycle, Chris.
I could grow a handlebar mustache and start listening to say AC/DC, but my father-in-law absolutely does not like. He doesn't like that I have my 6-year-old loves them now. He's like, can you play? And I'm like, yes, we can play Thunderstruck, and just going along. And he hears this as I'm coming up, and he's just like, dude, what are you doing to my granddaughter? Like, clear CCR.
Well, there's a big difference there, though.
Like, come on.
CCR and AC/DC. I mean, there's a range there, which is good.
You need to start drinking Budweiser before you can drink something like, Stella or craft beer. You have to appreciate that there is at least alcohol in your water before you can get onto more complex waters. I'm starting her off easy. That's why pop music's so popular,
Yeah, well, it's good. I mean, I don't want to call them the classics, but you need to be able to know those songs. There's probably, 500 that are timeless.
I actually have a top 500, 1960s to, early to mid 90s playlist that I'll play at, more mature weddings where people don't like house music or country music that is just house music but with a southern accent. And instead of talking about doing drugs at the club or drinking Hennessy, it's driving in their pickup truck and walking their dog. It's the same thing, people.
Yeah.
Different audiences. What are the values? But the 4/4 beat, it's the same.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not that much different.
You're looking perplexed there, Jim.
Yeah, well, I'm dipping back into computer conspiracies there for a minute, because you know there was a time there. Well, I love myself a good old conspiracy, right? And now it's so hard to find one that doesn't
batshit insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't get there anymore. Like,
that's because it's lost the plot.
Yeah, because like before, like AFK, right? You know, cool. That's easy. Or the moon landing, or RFK. You know, any of those things. You can. I mean, there's a box that you play in.
Yeah,
it makes sense. Was there a second shooter? Possibly. Okay, we can talk about it. But now it's like,
yeah,
like there's not a box anymore.
Well, it's because the moment you start talking conspiracies, and you get the crazies out. Not to say conspiracies can be fun, just like pro wrestling is fun, just like watching Transformers is fun.
Yeah.
But the moment that you think that Optimus Prime is your truck outside and he's going to transform and crush your house and kill your family, and you actually honestly believe that, and you're going to tell your friends, your neighbors and stuff about that, that kind of crosses a line and you're like, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If Hulk Hogan's coming back, you kind of have to pump the brakes.
Not again. No, but his hip is totally gone. Like the man can hardly walk.
He's like a wheel him out there. It'll be,
Well, Ric Flair is, at least he was appearing in AEW for a while, just like as a final tour with Sting, because Sting's been wrestling. Oh man, dude, like wrestling has changed to a certain, it's the same, but it's different.
It's definitely,
it's more millennial.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking, you know, there's the senior tour in golf, right? We should probably.
Oh, I'll play golf. Not well.
The senior PGA tour, right, where the old guys go to, you know, play after they're, you know, out of their prime. We should have that for wrestlers, right? They can just hop around cutting promos.
They need, yeah, that would be cool. And speaking of PGA, what they need to do is they need to get somebody on the tour who's just so abysmally bad that he obviously has no business being out there. Like, we're talking hitting water or, like, you know, duffing into the crowd off of a drive. And he's just there for the, I'm going to say entertainment value. You know, it's like watching a car wreck. you don't want to watch, but you can't look away. And also,
of those golfers with every, you know, there should be, like, they go out in twosomes, right? The pro and the pro-am, right? Where they spend more time looking for the amateur's ball and, you know, the guys just getting really frustrated and all this other stuff.
Well, that it's like, okay, well, people will golf there, you know, like, oh, you know, I played my age, especially when, you know, my father-in-law's retired friends will say that, like, oh, you know, I'm so and so and I played my age. It's like, okay, that's great, but did you play your handicap? You got a handicap that is so high that the person playing the game can say, like, oh man, I played my handicap and, you know, I got par, I'm good. That would, to me, is entertainment with a certain sense of empathy for the common man who just lives to spend $150 on Pro V1s and blow through them in the first four holes. Like, why did I even, like, this is supposed to make me play better. They do. You're two strokes down from, you know, from like a week ago. That cost you $150. Like, well, yeah, lessons cost you more, you know. I got a golf during my off season. At least the last couple of years. It was during COVID. I'm like, there's nothing else to do. Like, I can work, I can raise the kids, which I love my kids to death, but it's also like, I need to get outdoors and get some frustration out and at least learn some humility. And there is nothing more humble than self-flagrating than walking 9 holes at 30 degrees Celsius at 6 o'clock in the morning and playing absolute dog shit and still saying it's a good day. Cause that is the goal.
You were searching for a quote earlier. I have one for you here. That's Mark Twain, right? Golf is a good walk spoiled.
Yeah. I think I only ever quit a game like that, at least when I was doing early mornings, maybe twice in 2 years. We're talking like, once was because I just ran out of balls. And I used to get the large, like 50 pack, you know, pulled and dredged from some swamp somewhere, just kind of shined up, but you could still see like, oh, this one's kind of cracked, or, you know, or like, oh, there's still alligator marks on this one. What's going on with this? Like low quality, because I know that I'm going to lose half of them. I lost 30 in one game because I tried to tin cup it over this one water. It was a par three. And I think it was only about 30 yards to the other side of the water. And I'm like, I can make this. And I tried literally for a season and a half to make this iron shot off of the tee. It was 30 yards, but I just kept hitting into the middle of this damn lake every single time. And the first time I lost whatever I had left on it. I'm like, okay, pack everything up. Just walk back to the car. I got to go to work for nine. It was at the end of the season. And I literally, like, I tried once, tried twice, tried 10. I said, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm done for the week. So ticked off. I didn't throw my club into the water. I threw the rest of the balls in the water. I'm like, here, take it. You're going to need them anyway. Just walk it off. The guys who have, you know, who are ahead of me, like I get, you know, they're already finished and they're having their coffees at the table. And they're like, it's like, oh, here you're finishing kind of early. Like, bad game. I'm just like, shut up. Like, yeah, if you need help with your swing, my dad can help you. So I was
you got William Pullen throwing us a curveball here, and I don't even know where he can brings us up, but I'm gonna ask you, because
I don't even know there's a chat room. Where's the chat room? Chat button. Oh, there's no one here. Damn. Okay.
It's at my website.
Okay.
Mallard.com/live. Anyways.
Wait, you know, this is being recorded? This is live? You didn't tell me this. I'm just kidding.
I told you this was live. You've been on here 10 years ago. Nothing's changed, Chris. Pullen wants to know, will we, the United States, ever wake up and embrace the metric system?
No.
No. I don't think so either.
We almost did. The reference weights that were being sent from France sank in a boat, and you guys just kind of like went, eh.
Must be a sign.
I think at this point, if you came out, like, well, here's the thing. You're already mostly using it. It's just, you're not really using. You're like, you're closet metric users. Like, we in up here, at least in Ontario, are closet imperial users, because we still have our grams, our millimeters and all that stuff and all that fun stuff. We will talk about our weight and height in imperial. We will talk about speed in kilometers. When it comes to measurements for building, usually it's empirical, but you can do either or, even mix the two if it's nothing really too important. Just don't do it with anything like satellites or spaceships, because it does not end well. Read the Wikipedia article. Trust me, there's something out there on that. And usually when it comes to distance, like, oh, you know, so-and-so's house, we usually go by, like, not the bird, you know, as the bird flies, like, it could be 15, 20 minutes, give or take five. We always talk in minutes. Like, oh, they're 15 minutes away or 10 minutes away. We don't talk in kilometers. Like, oh, they're 2.5 miles out, or, you know, three clicks out. No, it's they're 15 minutes away. I'm a 10-minute drive from downtown. That is how we measure distance as far as the expectation for you and how annoyed you're going to be in the car from getting from where you are to where you need to get to. Forget distance. It doesn't matter, because it could take 5 minutes. It could take 50. You don't know. You roll the dice. You hope for the best.
And the difference is Chris follows the speed limit and somebody else drives 100 and they're there and
I drive a Hyundai. I do not follow the speed limit, but comps don't believe my car can actually go that fast, so they leave me alone.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, the minutes thing, man, there's so many variables in there.
Do what works and do what makes you happy. You know, if you want to measure an Imperial. If your neighbors will call you, a commie, liberal, fascist for using the metric system, you know, maybe stick to feet and inches. I'm just saying, do what works for you, what makes you happy.
Well, I mean, sometimes you need your neighbors to call you bad names.
Well, it all depends on your neighbors, really.
Well, yeah.
But are we talking bad names, or are we talking bad names? So like, is it like Jim, you bastard, or harder daddy? Like, it really depends. It's all about context, Jim.
You notice I had my cup up. I was about ready to start drinking, and I'm glad I didn't, because that would have been a reason to have another new computer.
I'm trying to do my best not to get any type of adult strike on here while still keeping the humor funny. Again, it's all about entertaining William and Jim and Venus. Everyone else, you can. I'm glad you're here.
His emails to William Pullen at what is it? Gmail.
Gmail.com. UFO Big Papa at ProtonMail. .co.
.gov.
1-900 deep investigation. it's not about the length of the time, it's about how hard we do it.
So you said you did some research. What else did you stumble upon before we run out of time here?
Well, research. I was just brushing up on the whole, like, what was my usual, like, everyone has an angle. My angle was ufology is bullshit. It's all entertainment. And I'm like, okay, well, so you got To the Stars Academy. To the Stars Academy, it had their major media personalities leave, and the government contact and the fake director, who wasn't actually director, he was involved somehow, but whatever. You know, the new TV star, the guy who has got the goatee. What's his name? Santa. That's it. Yeah. They joined Avi Loeb at the Galileo Project, and they're taking donations. Now, it's on a Harvard website. You have to understand, Harvard does not want to actually use their funds or their donations to fund this. That's how crazy they think it is. So they're asking directly for donations on their Harvard website. They're like, sure, Avi, you're tenured, you're well-known within the community. Whatever. Just don't make an ass of yourself too much. So we still have to do something legitimate, like trying to find out whether spherules that were from meteor impact were extra solar or extra, like, outside of the solar system, and also at the same time spinning on certain podcasts or through certain media outlets that it's extraterrestrial, like UAP, you know, arts parts, a type of metamaterials, when it's just like a meteor impact. Like, okay, Avi, you're like, did Lewis, like, promise you a TV show or a book deal? Like how many seasons are you getting for you to go along with this? Because I don't know how much Harvard pays, but he's a Harvard professor. He's not hard up for cash. So what's the problem? Is it gambling? Is it, you know, a drug debt? Is there something, some, like, what do they have on him to get him to agree to this? I'm just saying, it's absolutely insane. Why would you ruin your credibility with the guy who was, you know, who has basically been, you know, wanking off Tom DeLonge for the last 5 years, and who was formerly associated with the guy who was inspired Staring at Goats. You know, you Americans are talking about age limits for your age limits for your politicians. I think we need to be talking about that for professors as well. And why is it that all of these disclosure aficionados who are like, man, mainstream academia is bad, but the moment they get mainstream academia on their side, they're like, yeah, mainstream academia. Like, so you're taking the showman, the former spook, and the guy that you would have stuffed into his locker in high school, and you're saying that they're gonna bring disclosure. Like, use your brains for, like, you know. And the only things that he's brought out is two studies, I believe, on those meteor impacts. There's, you know, apparently they have an entire research methodology for UFO UAP discovery and tracking. It's going to take, at least as far as my own count, like my own projections, and I've looked through their entire thing, for what they want to do, it could take between 5 years to set up something small and mobile, which means they need to know where this thing is and then follow it. So if it appears in New York and they're in Los Angeles, or the other way around, they're screwed. The network that they want to build will probably cost anywhere between $100 million to $1 billion. And at least from my own projections and my own estimations from supply chain and how long it's going to take, about 15 to 20 years to build. So the people who are running this program now are going to be in a retirement home or possibly dead by the time this thing's actually built. And by that point, they would have already had pumped in about $1 billion. So are they going to be doing it at a very, very swank one where they're having their butts wiped with silk? Or is it just going to be a regular one, you know, because they've only raised $1.8 million at this point?
Well, I mean, so I'm not good at math, Chris. I mean,
$1.8 million
and a billion. I mean, there's a little separation.
0.2%, I think, right now 0.2% from the 100 million. No, it's 1.8% from the 100 million. And yeah, over 0.1%. So they got a ways off. And in the meantime, what are they doing? They're lobbying the government to raise a ruckus to get some focus on
asking the government for money is always a good idea.
That's pretty much what it is. To the Stars Academy used people's money to fund whatever BS they did. And this group is doing the exact same thing, just a little more, with more of appearance of legitimacy. But whether they actually are going to release anything, or we'll see. I'm thinking, at least from my own perspective and from what I've seen from this group from the past, Avilob hitched his wagon to the wrong people. And unless his whole thing is, I just want to get rich and famous, then all power to him, do whatever he wants to be able to do. But from a scientific and academic standpoint, unless he actually produces something, he just put a black mark on his academic career. And I personally can't take him seriously as a scientist. That's me.
Is there anybody rich and famous in the, we'll broaden out the paranormal field, right?
Field? Start naming names. Like
Zach Bagans?
I was going to say like Art Bell.
Well, he's dead.
Art Bell did pretty well for himself. Nori is pretty well off.
Would anybody recognize George Roy if he walked down the street?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. You know, any of the ancient aliens guy, anybody who was attached to anything involved with ancient aliens and that, like ancient aliens, Gaia, that whole metaphysical UFO spiritual alien bullshit, the people at the top and the personalities are probably well off. Most authors who are at least in the top 5 or 10, they're pretty well off. But a lot of everyone else has regular jobs and they just do it part time.
Yeah.
Well, but you're the ones.
A handful of people.
Well, yeah, like the ones you see at every single conference, every single year, and who have seen for the last 10 or 15 years, they're, I would say, not wealthy, but they're pretty rich, I would probably say. You know,
they keep churning these things out.
How big was the house that Jimmy Church had in L.A. before everything that he had imploded? You know, that was from running a podcast and other things. But, you know, he was able to sustain that for quite some time. He did TV appearances. Yeah. He did radio shows. He was a part-time host on Coast to Coast. So, yeah. So we're hitting that. Yeah. So 5 minutes. Anybody got a question?
I have the famous last question. So we're probably.
Oh, you do. That's right. That's right.
Single bullet here, but it's fun to watch though. The ups and downs of this. I mean, well, you've been around long enough to see it. And I've been around long enough to see people cycle around and, you know, people come back out like they're brand new. And I'm like, no, they're not.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I just like wish that I could just come out. Like, if I didn't have the scruples. So was that the question?
Yeah. It was kind of just a statement, but you can take
a statement. Can you phrase it in the form of a question?
It's amazing to see. I guess, would you come back as Bill Barr, UFO expert, and just totally horse shit people around?
Yes, I totally would. 100% I would. Why? Because can I swear on the show?
I just horse shitted in the middle of the question. Okay.
Yes, I totally would, because fuck you, that's why. Would I actually do it? No, because I have morals and ethics. And I have other things in life that matter, which are more important than trolling an entire community of UFO believers for fame, potentially, and fortune, and definitely ridicule down the road if somebody actually... Like, the hoax that would be needed to... And trust me, I've actually thought about this and said, could I actually do this? Probably. Would somebody find out? Definitely. if that happened, it's all over. And at that point, it's like, surprise, you know, I could play it off as something hilarious. It'd be like, how high into this community could I get by saying that my cat like talked to me as like the conduit for some alien species past, you know, the Seven Sisters. And they're here to save us from these ghost aliens and their horrible brand of industrial music that all they just say is bar, 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 bar for 5 minutes and just run with something insane like that. Because some of the shit that I've seen, yeah, something like that, I could, if I framed it properly and were serious enough in my conviction and delivery, there would be a large group of people crazy enough and dumb enough to believe me and give me all their money to be able to hear about it. I just don't have the time. I have too much in terms of ethics and morals to be able to do it. And it's just too much energy. Who cares? Have fun, so, people. Love yourselves. Don't, but not wants, like that. But
Paul wants to know, will you, are you, what are you going to do? Are you going to do anything in the future? Well, he asked if, will you grace us with your intelligence again? But
I don't know, William. Are you going to have me on your show?
Well,
it takes me time to book guests. It takes me time to produce material. It takes me time to produce graphics. But if you're doing it, then, you know, I can be a guest and be the color commentator. But, you know, I have plans. It's just things keep breaking around this damn house. And I have two kids whom I need to love and whom I do love and want to make sure that they have knowledge of their father playing with them and holding them and you know, having the emotional strength to be able to say, you guys are awesome and I'm proud of you. So that's more important to me right now. When I have the time to do things like a podcast and build the studio for the podcast, then I will build the studio for the podcast. Hopefully that's coming this spring.
Okay. So two questions. One should be easy, but it's not going to be, and one will be easy, but it shouldn't be. Okay. Because if you do get back into it, you've been around enough. You know who is that dream get? That one person, even if you don't get to talk to him on your show, that you'd enjoy talking to.
Gandhi. Because I've already talked to everyone I want to talk to. When I ran my podcast, I hit every single milestone. Every single milestone that I'd set when I first started out. So I did everything that I wanted to do and more. And I helped
people. Having me on more than once. So that was fun.
Well, that was always fun. That was Jim. You're one of my first guests. You were one of my last guests. You know, we loved you on the show, but the reality is that the show turned into something, at least at that point in time, where I was dealing with a lot myself, just from everything, from work, from the show, from fans, or from certain groups that were just constantly harassing and the negativity, and the fact that I had a family that started. And that was the main focus. To look at that at that time, I did everything that I wanted. I talked to everyone I wanted to talk to, sometimes multiple people at the same time. But I the fact that we did something which was to help somebody and their family, you know, and their dad take care of themselves, that was kind of the most important thing. And I can't do the same thing again like that, especially after having gone through that and gone through just the disillusionment with the entertainment business and not wanting to participate in that aspect. Like, if, you know, you want to give me a TV show where I'm busting BS myths, great. You want me to be on Ancient Aliens? I'll do it if I get to laugh at somebody again. But I love those guys. Like, they're good guys. They're doing well. It's great entertainment. Fantastic. But it's not legitimate researcher or science in any way, shape, or form. And that's what I want to do.
So you sound like you heard this before, so you might be listening still, which is good. Favorite breakfast? What do you got for me? I guarantee I would say bacon.
Actually, no.
Uh-oh.
No. My favorite breakfast is a medium rare strip loin.
Okay.
Seared, yeah. Cooked in olive oil with garlic, rosemary, with hash browns, morning fries, sweet potato morning fries, seasoned, salted, a little bit of hollandaise sauce, if I can have the time to be able to make it, two eggs, over easy or sunny side up, depending on how I'm feeling, with a fresh orange and cucumbers and some hummus with a really, 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 really strong coffee. That right there will keep me until about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you want, if you had a hard day of work, a physical labor, if you're building a deck or clearing like 1,000 feet of Virginia creeper from your, you know, a crashed tree and then cutting it up, you need something that's going to keep you going. And that is the best you can get.
Well, Chris, that's a new one. But I gotta say, I appreciate you coming on last, I don't want to say last minute, but it was this afternoon we decided to put this together. So
I'm
good to hear your voice again.
I'm again very grateful. I'm very humbled and appreciative of not only the fact that you invited me on the show, and if it was last minute to for whatever reason, I'm glad I came. And I am very appreciative of the fact that I've been able to watch your journey over the last couple of years and what you've accomplished. And I'm humbled to be able to know you, and I'm very proud of you, Jim. So wherever you go and whatever you do, I know that you're going to kick ass and you're going to do it for the right reasons. And for that, I wish you all the success.
Well, thank you, Christian. You kind of, you've been paying attention. You know where I'm headed.
Yes.
Just down the different rabbit hole. So not going away totally, just kind of regearing and following that passion for a while. So
you got to do what you love. If what you do doesn't have love, it's not going to do well, not for you, not for the people who buy or use it, not for anybody. It needs to be pure. And if it's a passion, follow it. And if it doesn't become fun, then find out if you can find passion in it. Great. If you need to change gears, you know, either way, you're going to be okay. And I believe in you, man. 100%. 100%.
Well, thank you, sir. And we'll catch up again at some point. If not, I'll see you in 6 months when I send you a meme.
Or just, you know, comment on my, like, I drop memes every day, all day.
I know, but
put me on your favorites list. Like, we're both middle, you know, almost middle-aged dads. You know, we still use Facebook.
Yeah. As I say,
I think
I do.
It's all I'm on there for at this point is just memes and talking to family.
That's about it, right?
All right.
All right. Catch you later, Chris.
Catch you later. Cheers.
Welcome to Anthology of Heroes, the podcast that explores the most pivotal moments of history through the eyes of those who lived it. In this podcast, we don't spend our time recounting facts and dates. Instead, we follow in the footsteps of national heroes, kings, or ordinary people who lived and breathed the moments that shaped our world. We're not hemmed in by eras, borders, or religions. Instead, we seek out the tales of those who defied the odds and fought passionately for their beliefs. Whether they're right or wrong is up to you to decide. From Vercingetorix's doomed rebellion against Rome, to Osceola's unshakable war against the USA, all the way up to the inspiring Sobibor concentration camp uprising in World War II, each episode is an immersive listening experience, blending music and sound effects to really draw you into the story. Our episodes go for about 45 minutes, making them perfect for your commute, and are crafted using a wealth of historical sources, which I list on our website if you want to learn more. I'm the host, Elliot Gates, and I'm thrilled to have you joining me as we uncover history's hidden gems and illuminate the faded pages of our past. Look out for the Anthology of Heroes podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, or anywhere else you get your podcasts from.